this portion of our service. Lord, we pray that you would fill us at this point. And Lord, that we would be open to hear your word, that we would let your truth fill us and renew us and challenge us as well. Lord, as we look to you, we pray that you would fill this whole place with your Holy Spirit, that He would be sharing with us things that we need to know, whether it be a conviction or whether it be an encouragement or just to let us sense His presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as the church, we talk a lot about Jesus Christ, which is perfectly normal. But there is another dimension, one that wants to destroy us, and we need to talk a little bit about that, because he is an adversary, and we need to be prepared for the things that will come at us. And more than likely, you've already experienced things like that already. He doesn't come to you with horns like the picture depicts, you know, horns and the pointy tail and the pitchfork. And that's not what he looks like. He comes to us friendly, logical, with a twinkle in his eye, like the next picture. You see these guys here that they look really nice, really good, friendly. And I'm not saying that these guys are full of the devil. I don't know. I don't know them one bit. But you know, it's like, you know, the guy in the bottom right, it would be for you, and you know, that older guy. You know, he just looks like a guy you could trust. You know, that's how Satan presents himself. Friendly. You can trust me. You know, come on. It's okay. This won't hurt. It's just this once. It'll be fun. Come on, you know, God doesn't care. Really. I mean, where is God anyways? You know, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 1763 in your few Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starts in verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 13. Paul speaking about individuals that are infiltrating the church. And he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." You know, it says that these men are false apostles. They're deceitful. They masquerade as apostles of Christ. So let me clarify that for you. They don't have signs on them that says, "I'm a false apostle." They preach the word. They share the gospel. They do all kinds of things that make you think that they're apostles, messengers from God. But inside, and eventually, there comes out this little bit of a lie. You know, really, Satan, he used Scripture, didn't he, in the Garden of Eden? He went to Adam and Eve and he said, you know, hey, God said that if you eat this fruit, or even touch it, you see, just a little lie. Just enough to get them to question. He had the first part right, but even touch it, that wasn't true. And then he just added in, God knows that the time that you take that fruit,
You're going to know what he knows. Isn't that appealing? Don't you want to know what God knows? Don't you want to have his insight? Now that's really appealing. And so I can just see Adam and Eve in the garden, and Eve, you know, reaches out and touches the fruit and backs up real quick, you know, touches it, and oh, it didn't die. So she picks it off and smells it, and smells pretty good to me. Wow. Wow, what does it taste like? And Satan just rubbing his hands, yeah, do it. Go ahead. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. You know, years and years ago, it's been quite a few years, I had somebody tell me that everybody who dies will have a second chance, that they'll be able to accept the Lord later. And I said, wow, that is just amazing. I said, where is that in the Bible? I need to find that. Oh, it's not in the Bible. Well, then how do you know? Well, it's the Holy Spirit told me. I said, really? How can the Holy Spirit tell you something that's not in the Bible or even contradicts the Bible, that doesn't equate? Are you sure it was the Holy Spirit? Because Satan can masquerade. He can come on just like the Holy Spirit. Look, child, I'm here for you. I want to make your life better. And it tells you he's the one who cares. Because he'll give you what you want. I had somebody tell me that. They said, why doesn't God give me what I want? I said, maybe it's not good for you. I mean, as a parent, did you give your child everything they wanted? I mean, we'd go into the store. I remember with Jonathan, you know, we'd go into the store and we'd be looking at different things, and he'd say, oh, I want that, I want this, I want that, I want that. And we'd say, you know, we can't get that. We don't have enough money to get that for one thing. He said, well, just write a check. Yeah, okay, that sounds easy enough. Yeah, but we don't do that. I mean, if I had my way when I was a kid, the candy store would be empty. And I'd be out in front, sick as a dog. God doesn't give us everything we want, but Satan will tell you that that's because he doesn't really care about you. And so, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you everything you want. Even if it makes you sick, even if it kills you. Because all Satan wants is to destroy us. You know, we fire back at God. You know, I have a life to live. It's my life. Sometimes we say, I have plenty of time. You know, Satan will whisper that in our ears. Oh, you're young. You've got plenty of time. It sounds good. Especially when we are tired of life, when things kind of bear down on us. We want rest. We want peace. We want true life and truth. We want to be the best we can be. You know, I don't know anybody who said, you know, my goal in life is to live under a bridge. I can't wait to get into that cardboard box. For overnight. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to get my bachelor's and then I'm going to be homeless. That's my goal. Nobody wants that. Everybody's striving to get better. We go to school, we do things, we do whatever it is, and we want to get better. We want to get a better job. We want to be able to retire when we get old enough. We want to have the things in life to enjoy. That's really what we want. And Satan plays on that pretty well. So I can give you all that. And the only hitch is, it doesn't make you better. It drags you down. And you become worse off than you were at the beginning. Why don't you go to Ephesians chapter 6.
1781 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6, 1781, pew Bibles, starting in verse 10. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. Paul talking here again, he says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then." You know, it's a battle that we're in. It's a spiritual battle, and so we really don't see it like you see a physical battle, like Iraq and Iran and Syria and all those places where fighting is going on, rockets are going off, and you know, and all those things are happening out there. You know there's a battle going on. You know that there's war. There's casualties. There people are dying. People are being injured, and all those kind of things. But in a spiritual fight, it's not so clear. But there is the same kind of battle going on. There's, you know, in certain parts of a physical battle, you have the frontal assault. The planes come in, drop their bombs. The tanks come in, and they're shooting long distance, hitting targets, exploding things. And so there's a certain amount of frontal assault. And that happens in spiritual warfare too. There's a certain amount of frontal assault. Satan comes right there and gets in your face. You get people that get in your face. "You're a Christian? What kind of person?" You know, and they're in your face. Frontal assault. But then there's the sniper attacks. And we have snipers ourselves. You put them on the building a mile away. I mean, I can't even imagine shooting a gun and hitting a target a mile away. It's just unbelievable. But that's a sniper attack. And you know what they're looking for? Somebody who's not guarded. Somebody who's not aware. Somebody who's just kind of let their guard down. That's what a sniper looks for. Because the one that's always aware, dodging around, you know, always has somebody in front of them, always has some protection around them, they're the ones that are way harder to get. But there's always a point when they let their guard down. They're just a little tired. Maybe they just don't want to wait for the guards. You know, "I'm just impatient. I'm going to move. I'm going to do what I got to do." The same thing in a spiritual warfare. We let our guard down. We get tired. We kind of start dragging. We get home and we're like, "Oh, you know, I don't have time for that. I'm just too tired. Prayer, you know, I just fall asleep if I start praying. Church, you know, it's Sunday, but oh, I need to get my sleep. I think I'll just pass." And then the sniper attack comes. And bam. All of a sudden you're into something you don't want to be into. Maybe a drug abuse. Maybe into a relationship you shouldn't be in. Maybe online stuff. You just say, "Well, you know, I'm tired, but I, you know, I just want to check Facebook. Or check this one particular site." And Satan then pulls the noose a little tighter. Fires that shot. And it hits its mark. You know, then there's the propaganda. We did it in World War II. We sent down pamphlets all over the place. You know, they'd fly over an area and then they'd drop pamphlets. The enemies did the same thing. Drop their pamphlets. Vietnam War, they did the same thing in radio programs. And, you know, they had the lady on the radio, you know, "Hey, you guys, your wives are with somebody else. And, you know, America's abandoned you." And, you know, all those kinds of things. And it's all the depressing things. Now they have Facebook and social media. ISIS, and America does it too. Propaganda. You know, things that tell people what, you know, you want them to know. You know, it's interesting how people respond to that. Prisoners of war have talked, especially the ones who are Christians, you know, they held firm. They had their focus. If you ever have a chance to watch that movie, Unbroken, I recommend it highly. Zamperini, I believe his name was, and he was a prisoner of war in Japanese prison camp. And they tried to break him, and he wouldn't break. But he had an abiding faith in Jesus Christ, and it kept him going. Guys in prisoner of war camps, same thing. But the guys that didn't have anything to hold on to. And so the constant negative propaganda that the enemy would share with them, America doesn't care for you, they've abandoned you, you're going to be stuck here forever, you might as well get used to that. You know, look at what happened to you. Where's your brothers? Where's your help? Undermining the integrity of God, the integrity of anything and everything. And Satan does the same thing with us. He undermines our belief in God. And God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. Look at your life. Look what's going on in your life. All the trials and tribulations. All the hurt and the suffering in the world. And you know, really, if there was a good God, if there was a loving God, why doesn't He just end that all? Why in the world did He let the presidential campaign go the way it is? Why did He stop it? Satan loves to manipulate facts. The Bible is the truth. It tells us things about God. It tells us things about us, about heaven, about eternal life, all kinds of things. It tells us about Satan, by the way. And so when it tells us these things, we need to believe it. We need to believe God and what He wrote for us. Because Satan is going to try to twist it all out of proportion. You know, people are trying to do that now. We have our history books, and they're all written, and they're written from a historical point of view, the individuals that were there. And they wrote those history books, but they're trying to rewrite them. They're trying to tell us things that wasn't there. And little by little, changing the way we look at things. I want you to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1851. In your pew Bibles, 1851. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 6. First Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." You know, the first thing you look at and you see, it's humble yourselves. All right, I can get that. Under God's mighty hand, He's going to lift you up in the proper time, in due time. But it also says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. You know, Why would God have that written in the Scriptures? Right? Because if God is going to take all our anxieties away, why would He write it there? Because He knows we're going to have anxiety in this world. He knows that we're going to live in a world of tribulation and trials. John 16:33, it says, "In the world you'll have tribulation. But it says, be of peace, or be of a good cheer, because I've overcome the world." God doesn't want us to suffer unduly, mentally and spiritually. But we are going to suffer in this world. I mean, it's just not possible for us to get through this world without some kind of pain and suffering. It's going to happen. But he does say here in verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him. All of them. He doesn't want just the major ones. I had somebody tell me that one time. They said, you know, God's not interested in your small problems. He just wants your big stuff. I thought, well, okay. And maybe that's why, you know, people finally fall on their knees after they had some big things in their life. But God wants everything. You know, oh my gosh, you know, I stubbed my toe. Or oh, wow, you know, I really don't have enough money to pay this one bill. You know, it's not bankruptcy that God is interested in. He's interested in every little part of your life. If you're anxious about anything, give it to him. Because he cares for you. Now, it tells you in the next verse, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy. So now we get the picture of military. You know, in the military, you're supposed to be alert, self-controlled. You know, you're not supposed to be, when you're in the midst of a battle, playing cards. Rifles over there. You know, and all of a sudden, the enemy's upon us. The enemy is all over the place. He's always prowling around. We are supposed to be alert and self-controlled at all times. Oh, that's impossible. Yeah, it is, because we're human. We get tired. But we should put ourselves into the Holy Spirit's hands. Let Him fill us. Don't try and live your life on your own. You're not going to make it. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus Christ in your life to keep you strong. It says here, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I don't know if you remember, it was back in the 40s, there was a camp of individuals, natives, and I don't know if they were English, or I think they were English, and they were building a railroad through Africa. And at this one particular area, all of a sudden, all these guys started getting killed and dragged off by lions. Well, they thought it was only one lion, and they were like, oh man, you know, this is horrible. And at night, the lion would come in, grab somebody, and drag them off. I mean, 30-some individuals were killed before they finally called in professional hunters. And the hunters came in, and they're like, yeah, we can get this lion. We're smarter than it is. And they almost died. Well, they got the lion, you know, and they dragged them out, and they're all happy and everything, and they all... You had a big party and drank it up and everything, and they went to bed and somebody else got snatched. Yeah, that scares you. Somebody else dragged off screaming. Well, then they called the hunters back. They said, hey, we got another one. Turns out they were twin lions. And they became man-eaters. These guys infiltrated their area. The devil is prowling around looking for someone who's twiddling their thumbs, playing cards, not noticing. He's only after the ones that are weak, that are unaware, not self-controlled, and then the sniper attack. Nails you. And then you're like, oh man, what happened? Verse 9, it says, resist him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. That's where our strength is. Standing firm in the faith. Resist him. How do we stand firm in the faith? Through his word. The Bible is the truth. We need to stand in his word, because if we don't stand in his word, then we're lost. We're going to be a sitting target. You know, shooting fish in a barrel. That kind of a thing. I want you to go to 1 John. Another scripture tells us about God. 1 John chapter 4, 1860 in your pew Bibles. 18:60. Starting in verse 7. First John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God or does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." You see, it tells us that God is love. Satan will tell you, no, that's not true. God doesn't care. He doesn't love you. But God is love, according to the Scriptures, according to the truth. God is love. Now, we either believe him or we believe Satan. Jesus called Satan a liar. Now, I want you to go back to John 16:30 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 8. 16:30, John chapter 8. And verse 42. This is important because God has his character, which is love. He cares for you. He's faithful. There's no shifting shadow. Satan also has his character, and this is his character. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." You see, Satan doesn't know how to do anything else but lie. Oh, he throws a little bit of truth in there, but his native language, what he speaks, is lies. According to the Scripture, God's truth, God will give you rest. He will give you peace, even in the midst of turmoil. He will show you the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He will change you to become the best that you can ever be, better than you can ever imagine. In Ephesians, it says that. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but it's chapter 3, and it's verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The first thing I want you to notice is that it's to him, and he is able, and he's going to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a pretty good imagination. And I can imagine all kinds of good things. But God will do even more than I can even imagine. By what? It says, according to his power that is at work within us. According to his power that's at work within us. It's not my power. It's the power that created the universe. It's the power that rose Jesus from the dead. That's the power that Jesus puts in us so that we can do what we have to do in this world. Measurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within me. His work is at work within me. I'm becoming more and more like him because of his power. Can you imagine? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. because of the power that's not mine, it's His. So, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The time is short. You don't have all the time in the world. Satan is only interested in destruction. He could care less about your well-being. He gets you started, and I've understood that one usage of heroin and you're hooked. And you can imagine that Satan comes along and says, man, you know, life is boring. Just try this once. And you're hooked. There's so many things out there that Satan will throw at you because we don't believe what God tells us. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Don't allow the whispers and the lies to come. You cling to this. Don't let yourself get so worn out that you won't pick up the Bible and read and study. Don't get so tired and so distracted that you put church aside. And I'm not saying that because I want to see a full church. Every pastor would love that for sure. But I'm saying it because that's what God tells us. Don't forsake the assembling together. Why? Because we need the fellowship. We need to be together. We need to study His Word together. We need to talk about the Lord. We need to encourage one another. And when we do that, we'll stand firm. We'll have the strength. We'll be on guard for the sniper attack, for the propaganda. Satan hates you and wants nothing more than to destroy you and watch you die in your sins. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not want to die in your sins. Because there is not a second chance, like whoever it was told me. The Bible tells us that you have a chance here and now, in this world. You don't have all the time in the world. I don't care how young you are. I've done funerals for all ages. I've even done infant funerals. So don't tell me you got all the time in the world, because you don't. You could walk out of here today, and it'll be the last day you have. The only promise that you have is eternal life in Jesus Christ. When this life is over, where will you spend eternity? I'd like us to close in prayer, and I'd like us to really ponder that question now. Let's close. Father, I ask You on behalf of those who are here that maybe have never accepted You, that never felt that they needed to. Maybe they felt that You're a crutch. Maybe you feel you're not really real. But all we have to do is look at creation to know that You are real. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that hasn't accepted You as Savior, maybe they're struggling through addictions or struggling through issues in their lives. They're fighting that battle alone. Lord, I pray that they would pray with me. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of fighting on my own. I'm tired of struggling in this life without Your Spirit to give me strength. Lord, I need You. I need Your strength, Your power in me. And Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I ask You to accept me into Your kingdom, into Your family. Fill me with Your Spirit now. We pray. And Lord, there might be people here, Christians, but still struggling, got tired, burned out. Lord, I pray that they would just pray, Lord, I want to come back to You. I want You to fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, I've drifted too far away. I'm sorry. I repent right now. I ask that You would fill me with Your Spirit and help me to turn away from those sins, those things that have held me back for so long. I want You to lead my life. From now on, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to come to church when it's when the opportunity arises. Lord, and I want to pray every day and seek You. Lord, thank You again for what You have done in us and through us. And I pray that You would build in us more and more Your Spirit. Lord, thank You that Your Word is faithful and true. We ask now that You bless the song as we sing this final song together, and that it is with renewed hearts, with a rekindled fire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us all to stand up, and Blessed Assurance will be up on the screen, the first and last verses.